Motherhood is a unique relationship that God has created. Everyone in this room has taken part in this relationship. Everybody had to be born from a mother, as far as I know. And as any relationship among human beings in a fallen world, it reflects its original greatness that God gave to this relationship. And at the same time, it also shows the stain of sin in this relationship. God has given mothers a unique role, which is complemented by the role of the father in the raising up of children. A mother is an individual that God has chosen to have the first contact with the new generation and to carry them close within herself, first in her womb, and to sustain life and to protect that life in its most, or we'll talk about life, it will be it, in its most helpless state. A mother provides nourishment for a child. As we saw in the story we read this morning, she also provides comfort. When the child fell sick, the father said, take him to his mother. And she comforted that child. She provides comfort in times of pain and distress. She provides comfort to her child as a baby, as a toddler, as a teen, and even as an adult. A mother provides good things for her children, from food to clothes, shoes, and even toys. Sometimes I'm impressed even with my wife that is keeping up with the different toys that they, you know, how technology gets up and they come up with all these different toys, and my wife is keeping up to be able to keep with all those gifts and all that. Sometimes I'm lost. I'm like, it's just another one of those toys, but she's right on what she's supposed to get. Mothers provide food for their children before birth, after birth. They are the ones who can breastfeed. God made men differently. And they like to continue to provide food for their children every time they can. Even after they are grown up, when they come and visit, they prepare something for them. Mothers are always there when help is needed. They also find help that their children need. They are willing to request anything for their children's sake. I remember my mom asking when we needed something, like, you're not going to ask to that person. And there she goes. She goes and asks for things. Even I was remembering a story of my mother-in-law when we, after I got married and I went to school, we went to go to school, Washington Bible College, and then we went and they told us, well, it is too late. You cannot come into this school. You have to apply next year. But my mother-in-law was able to contact the head of the music department, and there I was in 15 days. I was back in school. Yes, there was a way. We have the example in the Bible of the mother of the sons of Zebedee with the boldness to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, to the most powerful man on earth, and she knew that he's going to have the greatest kingdom that has ever existed. And she comes and, can I ask you a favor? Can my two sons sit one at your right hand and one at your left hand? And we can see the desire here of that mothers have to help their children. Mothers, when they are placed under extreme pressure, they are willing to comply with the most unreasonable request, even in order to save the life of her child. Like in the time when Solomon, two different women came to Solomon, and each one had a child at one time, but one of them had died. And then Solomon said, well, both of them saying, this is my child. No, it is my child. And then Solomon said, well, bring a sword. And then the mother of the child said, no, let her have him. And then everybody knew, even Solomon, everybody knew Solomon's wisdom that God had given him. But also everybody knew where the true mother was. Motherhood is a relationship that God planned after establishing a more lasting relationship, which is marriage. Marriage is a closer relationship than motherhood, where two people, a male and a female, both by birth, become one and are never separated, except by death. Motherhood, on the other hand, is a relationship where the mother and child are very close, but they experience a gradual separation. The relationship starts very close before birth, then the first separation occurs right at birth when the umbilical cord is cut, and then the next separation occurs when the child is weaned, then when he becomes a teenager or she becomes a teenager, and then the Bible says that the man will leave his father and mother and he will join his wife, or he will cleave to his wife, and they will become one flesh. There is another separation there. Marriage. When the child leaves his father and mother and cleaves to his wife, that is as far as that separation gets. God cares a lot about mothers. We see God's love and compassion with laws in the Old Testament protecting women from abusive husbands and asking his people to provide for widows, and God himself calling himself the husband of widows. He had Elijah and Elisha ministering to widows. And I think he also shows his love by making the first word of a baby's mouth to be mom or mommy. Except for those babies that say ball or car. But we have one of those. But that's just my interpretation there. We have the record in the gospel of the Lord Jesus having compassion on a widow in a town called Nain and bringing her dead son back to life. God, in his wisdom and grace and compassion, has given a command to his people regarding parents. He included that commandment as part of the Ten Commandments, the commandments that God spoke directly through his mouth from Mount Sinai. And he considered that relationship between parents and children to be so important that he included one commandment to be included in that list of Ten Commandments. And that is, you know it, it's Exodus 20:12. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land of which the Lord your God is giving you. Jesus refers several times in his ministry to this particular commandment. Several times he brought people back and called their attention. Are you keeping this commandment? And he showed them, no, you are failing. In some ways, the relationship of a son or a daughter to their parents is a reflection of the relationship that individual has with God. Just like God wants us to honor him, God wants us to honor our parents. Even the word that sometimes is used for God, that we would say, well, you need to fear or respect the Lord your God, that's also used for parents. Children are commanded to honor them. They are never commanded to love their parents. Of course, when the Bible says love your neighbors, that includes your parents also. But the commandment for children is to honor their parents. The commandment has the implication for children at home as well as for adults. And let me say one thing. Married adults still have the responsibility to honor their parents, their mothers. And in fact, most of the commandments to honor their parents are addressed to adults, not children. So, what I would like to do today, and I'll try to rush, is point five implications from this commandment of honor your father and mother that they have in our lives. But before that, continuing, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I want to praise you for your grace in giving this commandment to honor our parents, Lord. I pray for everybody here that as you open our understanding this morning, as we look at the scriptures, that you will help us to see where we have failed and where we can improve, Lord, and help us to make that decision to make changes in our relationship with our parents, even today. Lord, may you be glorified through our time together in the scriptures, and please be with me as and with us as we listen to your Holy Spirit as we look at these passages of the scripture this morning. We're praying this in Jesus' name. Amen. What does the Bible mean by honoring our parents? Honoring our parents involves giving them respect, attention, and obedience. Basically, is when we respect the president, when we respect the king, when we respect anybody, we are assigning them a high status. We just treat them better because we have decided they deserve respect. We attribute that high status by showing the value they have through our words, through our actions, through our thoughts, with our time. We put value to the words that they communicate to us. If the president says, you need to do this, if our boss at work says, you need to do this, we better pay attention to that, because if we don't give enough respect and we don't pay attention to what they have asked us, we might lose our job, or we might suffer some consequences, or they will just think, he doesn't care about me, or she doesn't care about me. So we need to put some value in our parents. This is what honor means. God, in His order, it was the choice of God to give value and that high status to parents. And it was His choice, in His order, He gave that high status that we, as children, and we all, this all applies to us, we all need to affirm, yes, God, you have given a special place in our lives, and you have given them, and we need to show it, demonstrate it with our actions. The opposite of honoring is lowering that status in our own eyes, despising, saying, oh, yeah, that was just my mom, don't worry about it. Or that's just my dad, don't worry, he's loony, or I don't know. And sometimes that's the opposite of honoring. And also lowering their status in the eyes of other people, shaming them, making fun of them, demeaning them, despising them, holding them as unimportant, insignificant. And something you should never do, and I'm going to go through some of what we call basic things, but I think they need to be mentioned because I need to present the whole counsel of God. Now you'll get after me for that this morning. But a parent should never be assaulted, never should be attacked physically, and I know where I'm preaching here to the choir, but I think it needs to be said. Exodus, was it there? 20. No, not there. Exodus 21:15. And he who strikes his father and mother shall surely be put to death. It's quite some of the what we would call stronger I guess that's a pretty strong punishment. There are other commands, other sins that we would say, oh, they are much stronger, and they don't receive the death penalty. Here, whoever strikes his father and mother shall be put to death. That's something that we need to affirm with children. If you're a grandparent or a parent, sometimes, I mean, it happens to us, you spank your child, and then the child turns around and he said, now I'm going to spank you, Dad, or I'm going to do this to you. And we probably were raised with all this, but if these things are not mentioned, as our society moves away from God, and in fact the next things I'm going to mention, they need to be taught to our society and to the next generations as part of the Word of God. So, honor your father and your mother. The first thing is follow God. And I might change the lighting here. Go from 2 to 1. Might help a little bit. Follow God's moral principles. And I'm just going to move a little faster to this one. As our society moves away from God's teaching, basic teachings need to be emphasized. Mothers need to be treated with kindness and compassion, not with cruelty. And God has even shown us this in His instructions. In the instructions He has given, even with regard to animals, here's an interesting verse He gave in the law. If a bird's nest happens to be before you along the way, and in any tree or on the ground with young ones or eggs, with the mother sitting on the young ones or on the eggs, you shall not take the mother with the young. You shall surely let the mother go. The respect is for the mother, and take the young for yourself, that it may be well with you, and that you may prolong your days. Even being kind to animals here has a promise, just like the first commandment with a promise, that your days may be prolonged. We tell our children, you cannot marry your mother. We tell, you cannot marry your father either. You cannot marry your stepmom, your father's wife. As people seek to marry whoever they want, especially our society is pushing for, yeah, you should be able to marry whoever you want, as long as it's, and they put different, each person put their own rules, but if it's a, how do you say, consensual relationship, it should be allowed, because if not, our rights are being stepped on or trumped or things like that. So as the society moves away from the marriage, as God has defined it, between a man and a woman, other things might come up. Now it's same-sex marriage, then polygamy may be included. It's already practiced adultery. And God says being involved with a mother and a daughter is wickedness. And it deserves the death penalty. Our society has benefited a lot from the teachings of the Scriptures. And we have a lot of moral people, and they think that these things that I'm mentioning, they think that, oh, everybody understands these things. This is something that everybody knows. No, not everybody knows them. They know them because we are based on a Judeo-Christian culture. But these teachings were not common before the law was given. When you look at the patriarchs, Reuben had problems with his stepmother. Jacob married two sisters. Abraham married his stepsister. We have all these relationships. When you go to the New Testament and you think, oh, well, the Greek people, they were advanced. They were the thinking people of their time. Well, look at the church in Corinth. They were allowing a man to be with his stepmom. So all these things that we say, oh, well, it's obvious it would be the right thing to do. No, it's not the right thing to do. We know them because of the Scriptures. That's what has changed things. So as the society moves away from these teachings and suppress the Christian teachings, these practices will become more common, and we need to keep proclaiming that we have received by grace from God His law. As we saw last week, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. We just need, this is what David had. The testimony of the Lord is pure, making wise the simple. This is how people will get wisdom. But moving on, so follow God's moral principles. And the first thing that would apply straight to us would be honoring your parents with your wealth. Thinking about your relationship with your parents, the worst thing you can do is to steal from them. There have been different examples of people stealing from their parents. The most recent one that I heard of, the person who won the lottery, an old 70-year-old lady, 80-year-old lady, she couldn't sign the lottery ticket, so she asked her son to fill it out. Well, the son filled it out, and yes, he cashed the money, and he has spent most of it. He just gave her a car and some cash, and he kept $32 million and she got $250,000 or something like that. But the Scripture says, whoever robs his father or his mother and says, oh, that's not sin, it's not transgression, she's going to give it to me later after she passes away. Anyway, the same is the companion of the destroyers. So basically, that's the worst thing that you can do with your wealth. But the other thing that you could do with your wealth is just, well, this is my money, I'm going to keep it, not providing, withholding what you can help your parents with. for whatever reason, even if you said, oh, I gave this money to the Lord, and that's what was happening during the time of the Pharisees. This is the Lord Jesus Christ bringing out the problem. Hey, guys, you are not honoring your parents, even though you are fulfilling the law according to, and these are the Pharisees. So the Lord Jesus Christ tells the Pharisees, says, why do you transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? For God commanded, said, honor your father and your mother, and he could curse his father or mother, let him be put to death. And he brings out how serious it is not honoring your parents. And says, what you are doing is, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God, he need not honor his father or mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. So in other words, says, they were saying, well, mom, I know you're in need, dad and mom, you're in need, but I was going to help you, but all the money I had to help you, I already made a vow to God. And I'm going to, it's all God's now. So sorry, I can't help you. You better look somewhere else. But the Lord Jesus Christ says, you have overridden the commandment of God to honor your parents with your tradition. And then, that would be the second verse. But so what, how do we honor our parents with our wealth? Notice that this is not addressed to small children. This honor your parents with your wealth is not a child that makes 10 cents each time he has a birthday or $10 or something. This is someone who is actually having a living. The Apostle Paul writes, if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home and to repay their parents. For this is good. It is good to provide for your parents. And it's acceptable before God. He uses the same words that he used that in Romans 12. One, I beg you by the mercies of God to put your bodies, give your bodies as a living sacrifice so that you can learn the good and acceptable will of God. Well, helping your parents with your wealth is good and acceptable before God. And then he goes to verse 7 and he says, these things command. You have to go to the church and tell them you have to take care of your parents that they may be blameless. And then he goes to verse 8 and says, but if anyone doesn't provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith. Basically, don't call yourself a Christian if you are not caring for the needs of your parents. And he's worse than an unbeliever. Unbelievers do that. Just like the Lord Jesus Christ said, if you love those who love you, you don't have any merit. Those who do not know God do the same thing. Well, the same thing here. If you're not providing for your parents, it says you're worse than an unbeliever because they do that. If any believing woman, now verse 16, if any believing man or woman has widows, let them relieve them and do not let the church be burdened, that it may relieve those who are really widows. So that's, one more thing. I just want to give you on that the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. When the Lord Jesus Christ was on the cross, there stood by the cross Jesus, his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he says to them, to his mother, woman, behold your son. He wasn't going to be present physically anymore. So he, as someone else, he was basically there saying, part of fulfilling the law, honoring your parents, he didn't forget that while he was on the cross. He said, I'm going to have someone to take care of you because that's what it's on the law. And then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. The purpose is, I know sometimes people say, well, this is... the worst thing I've heard is this is Christ saying that Mary is the mother of all the Christians. That's not what he's saying. But I think what he's doing here, he's showing, I'm going to be gone, and now this disciple will take care of you in my absence. That's just one of the last things I need to do before I say, come, it is finished. So, keep moving ahead. Follow God's moral principles. Honor God with your wealth. Give honor to God or give honor to your parents with your words. With your words here. The opposite of not honoring with words is described as cursing. We already read a little about that. Cursing one's parents, as the Lord Jesus Christ quoted from Leviticus, carries the death penalty. For everyone who curses his father or his mother, he shall surely put to death. He has cursed his father or his mother, his blood will be upon him. You mean just by saying some words, he gets the death penalty? Well, I think there was a similar death by cursing God. So in some ways you can see the parallel of, in some ways, if you cannot honor your parents whom you see, how are you going to honor God whom you don't see? I think this is part of this parallel that is going here. So one of the charges, one of the reasons why Israel was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar was because they were not honoring their parents. Son dishonors father. This is Micah in the time of Isaiah. Daughter rises against her mother. Daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemy are the men of his household. In Ezekiel, look, the princes of Israel, each one has used his power to shed blood in you, in Jerusalem. And they have made light. That word made light is the same as curse. Treat them without the value that God has assigned them. They have made light of their father and mother. And this is not addressing children again. Is addressing adults who are committing murder. They are not keeping the fifth commandment, also the sixth commandment and the seventh commandment. Actually, the ten commandments were violated by the nation of Israel. In your midst, they have oppressed the stranger, and they have mistreated the fatherless and the widow. So God is serious about us honoring our parents. So God sends judgment to those who curse or make fun of their parents. Whoever curses his father or his mother, Proverbs 20:20, his lamp will be put out in deep darkness. So that's just the judgment of God. When you least expect it, it will happen. And why? Because you didn't honor your parents. The eye that makes fun of his father, and mocks his father, and scorns, makes fun of the obedience to his mother. Huh, you think I have to obey my mom? Oh, no. She's gone. The ravens of the valley will pick it out and the young eagles will eat it. So what should I do instead of cursing? So I need to be careful the way I'm going to speak of my parents. And this goes for everybody. We need to give them that stage and that status of honor that God has given to them just because they are our parents. And so instead of cursing, we need to bless. Proverbs 30, there is a generation that curses his father and doesn't bless its mother. The opposite of putting someone down is actually asking for blessings. It said, her children rise up. This is the, it's not Wonder Woman, it's the, what is it called? The superwoman, the Proverbs 31 woman, the what? Virtuous woman, thank you. Her children rise up and call her blessed, the virtuous woman. Her husband also, and he praises her. So we need to find ways to show the value that your parents have for you and try to say good things about them. Basically, that's what you would do with someone that you honor, and that's part of using your words to honor them. Also, as you think about using words, you have to give honor to their words. This one is the one that applies to children. Children, obey to your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it might be well with you and that you might live long in the earth. So yes, part of honoring the parents as a child is being obedient and submitting to whatever mom and dad says. Do I have to do it? Yes. Why? Because it's your mom and dad. But the instructions continue for adults. Adults should consider their mother's advice. I'm not saying that it should be a blind obedience, but the advice that your parents give you should be considered because you honor them. So Proverbs 1:8, my son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother. Proverbs 6:20, my son, keep your father's command and do not forsake the law of your mother. Proverbs 23, listen to your father who begot you and do not despise your mother when she is old. So usually elderly women don't have very young kids. So this is actually for an adult child to consider what his mom or her mom has to say. Proverbs 31, the words of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him, and then I just cut it right there. But if you remember Proverbs 31, the first section, the advice is don't get drunk and be careful with women, because it's not good for kings to be involved in those things, because they will pervert the righteousness, what is right. They will pervert justice. And you would not give those instructions to a child. Don't get drunk, you little Sophie. And this, again, this part of listening to the law of your mother is for adults. It's something that we need to meditate, because God has chosen us for us to do. And the last thing, so follow God's moral principles, honor them with your wealth, honor them with your words, then honor their words, and the last thing, give honor by applying godly wisdom. But you would say of all of this, but you don't know my parents. And I might not know your parents. But God can't command me to do that with the parents I have. Mothers are not perfect, nor dads. I know that because I am a dad. There are times when their advice conflicts with the principles that we find in the Bible. But honoring, so I'm going to give you some guidance on how this, well, how does this honoring thing that is so strong and so strong in the scriptures with such a big penalty comes out to play in real life. Well, part of it is what we've seen is real life. But what happens when your mother or your father asks you to do something against the scripture? Well, number one, honoring God is more important when a decision has to be made. If you have to choose between obeying your mom and obeying what God has said, make sure that it's what God has said, then go with what God has said. For example, becoming a Christian. If your mother says, don't go with them, and you hear the gospel and you know it's true, you have to obey Christ. You have to go with the gospel, that with what God is giving you in the gospel, rather than with your mom. Oh, those are a bunch of hypocrites. Don't even get close to them. I don't want you to be in this sect and all these things. It's not a sect. Basically, if you understand that it's the truth and God through His Holy Spirit is giving you understanding of the scriptures, you have to go with what the scripture says. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, said the Lord Jesus Christ. Whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. So if you have to make a decision, you have to go with Christ, not with your parents. If anyone comes to me and doesn't hate his father and mother, this is in Luke, wife, children, brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life also. Basically, you have to be completely devoted to Christ. Do you suppose, says Christ, that I came to give peace? No, I tell you, but I rather came to create division. From now on, five in one house will be divided. Three against two, two against three. Father will be divided against his son, and the son against his father. Mother against his daughter, and daughter against his mother. This is not any fight because of money or because of other things. This fight is coming because of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are being divided because of me. I came to bring division, says Christ. Mother against daughter, daughter against mother, mother-in-law. But now, if everybody is in Christ, there shouldn't be any divisions. And when there are divisions, they need to be treated according to the other principles. So one of the things is, yes, God is supreme. In the Old Testament, when Moses is giving his blessing to the tribes, after he came back down from the mountain, when they thought that he was dead because the mountain was full of lightning and shaking and dark and a big voice, a big booming, they heard the Ten Commandments. They thought, oh, we don't know what happened. And they made the golden calf. Moses came down and he said, "Who is with me?" And the Levites came and joined him, and they took their sword, and 23,000 people were killed by the Levites that day. So when he's given a blessing, Moses says, and of Levi he said, "Let your Thummim and your Urim be with your Holy One." That's what the high priest carries in his chest to know the future, to know what God says. "Whom you tested at Massah," that was the time where they were tested by God, "and whom you contended on the waters of Meribah," the contention or rebellion. "Who says," is Levi, "who says of his father and mother, 'I haven't seen them,' nor did he acknowledge his brothers or know his own children, because they have observed your word and kept your covenant." They did hold the relationship with God more important than the relationship with a faithless father or mother. So we do have that principle in the Bible. And the other one is, wise decisions may lead you to depart from the request of a mother. Sometimes you have, in certain areas, you have more information, and you are able to do wiser decisions. You might not. But I just wanted to bring out an example of Solomon. Adonijah, the older brother of Solomon, the one who should have been the heir to the king, to King David. But King David held Bathsheba to play Solomon, because God had said he wanted Solomon to be king next. So Adonijah came to Bathsheba and said, "Can I ask your request?" He said, "Do you come in peace?" And he said, "Yes, I come in peace. Well, can I ask you something from you? Can you ask, the kingdom should have been mine, but since it was the Lord's will to give it to Solomon, can you ask him if he can give me the last concubine that my father had?" And that was a young woman that they found, because King David was too old and he couldn't keep warm. So they got a young girl to be with him, to keep him warm. So he came and said, "Would you ask him?" So I want you to see how Solomon acted towards his mother. But Bathsheba therefore went to the king, Solomon, to speak to him for Adonijah. And when the queen came into the room with mother, the king rose up to meet her. So even the king of Israel is honoring his mother by just standing and recognizing, "Oh, here is my mother. I'm going to give her a high status, even in my own throne room." But not only that, he bowed down to her. Whatever greeting was to show respect, I don't know if it was all the way to the ground, the king, the new king, still King Solomon, he bowed down to her, and then he went and sat down on his throne, and then he had a throne set for the king's mother, the queen mother's throne, on his right hand. Notice the respect that he's giving his mother. Then she said, "I just need one small petition of you. Don't tell me no. Don't refuse me." And the kid said to her, "Come on, mom, ask me, my mother. I will not say no. I will not refuse you." So, I didn't put the rest. That one I had to tell you. Well, first the request is, "Can I have him? Can I have that concubine of my father?" And Solomon says, "What, does he want also the kingdom too? Because he's my older brother, you know." In fact, he has spoken these words because against his life. And he, even though he had said, "I will not refuse you," because of wisdom, he decided to go against what she had requested. And it was wise for him what he did, because God established his throne. So those are the very few cases where you might have to disagree with your parents, but even though you might disagree, you still need to show them respect. You still need to value that opinion or that advice they are giving you. So when things like this come up, um, consejo. What to do then when these things are requested and that don't follow godly wisdom? What is that doing there? Oh, I know what it is. The way that the Apostle Paul puts it, mothers are going to sin, fathers are going to sin, pastors, preachers are going to sin, and pastors who are older in this case than Timothy. And Paul tells Timothy, do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father. So you still need to give him his respect in the way you're going to treat him. Younger men treat them as brothers. Older women treat them as mothers. And that assumes that you're treating your mother with respect. And younger sisters with all purity. When you look at the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, this is what these verses were about. The Lord Jesus Christ, 12 years old, he stays in the temple. And the parents are looking for him. And then they say, didn't you know we were looking for you? We were so anxious about not having you. And he said to them, why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? So in this case, it was the will of the parents. And what Jesus felt at that time was God's will to be in his father's business. So he stayed. That's how he made the decision. He's perfect. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. But then he died again when he responds in the wedding of Canaan. They don't have wine. Jesus, do something. And I think his response is basically to let him know, Mom, now I'm going to be responsible to my father, and I'm going to do it according to his will and his time. So he said, woman, what is your concern have to do with me? My hour has yet not come. The time is not my father's time. Now I'm doing decisions according to what God has revealed to me. And still he did it, because we assume that it was the father's will to help in the wedding. And the mom, Mary, asked the servants, whatever he does, ask you to do, do it. So, God has given us this commandment. Notice the commandments also were given by the grace of God. If we didn't have this commandment, most people wouldn't treat their father, we wouldn't be celebrating Mother's Day, I don't think. We're sinful. But by grace, God has given us the law. Not that we may be saved through the law can't save because we are going to fail, but that we might live wisely, honoring God. And now he has given us his spirit so that we might be able to fulfill the law. When we live by the spirit, we have the ability to fulfill this fifth commandment, honor your father and your mother. So what we need to do is we need to emphasize this commandment to our families, to the rest of society, to the children, to parents, to grandparents, to grandchildren. And ultimately, everything you do brings honor or dishonor to your parents. Just the same way that you can honor God and dishonor God with your behavior, if you have a good marriage, that actually is bringing honor to your parents. If you are a good parent, if you take good care of your family, that also brings honor to your parents. If you act in an honorable manner at work, if you're honest, if you're reliable, if you're hardworking, that also honors your parents, in addition of honoring God. That shows that they've raised you well. That shows that you strive to honor them and you strive to honor God as you honor them. So I want to finish with these verses. A wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish man despises, looks down on her mother, on his mother. The father of a righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who begets a wild child will delight in him. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her who bore you rejoice. So that's what my encouragement is. Honor your parents. Let them rejoice. If you have failed in this area, I think I'm the only one here, but But if you have failed, and I think all of us have failed at one time or another, it's never too late to change. You can start honoring your parents in the way that God intended you to do. There is forgiveness in Jesus Christ, who deserves all the honor and the glory, because it is because of His grace that we can have wisdom on how to relate to our parents. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you will help us to honor our parents, even if they are not here with us anymore, Lord. We still bring honor to them in the way that we speak of them, in the way that we talk to them. And for those who we have our parents here with us, Lord, I pray that you will help us to honor them as we communicate with them, as we listen to their advice. Help us understand that this commandment was given from Mount Sinai, not for the children, but also for all the males and females in the congregation of Israel, for everybody. And Lord, I pray that as we honor our parents, we might honor you too, Lord. I pray that you will engrave these truths in our hearts. May you change our lives through your teaching of the scriptures, Lord, and whatever caught our attention, whatever thing was brought to our mind this morning, may you help us to change, and may you be glorified, and may your church may be purified as we seek to obey your will in this commandment. May you give us grace to honor our fathers and mothers, even today. We praise you, we love you, we thank you, and we're eternally grateful for what you have done, in addition to forgiving our sins, letting us know how we should live. We're praying this in His name. Amen.